On Christmas Eve, Gitan, with bread-making skills, make their way toward the Albaicin, where by custom a bakehouse has been reserved for them to use. The occasion is a communal bread-making party. I usually go with a party made up of Josefa and her friends. From 8 o'clock onward, the scene inside the bakehouse is like one copied from a 15th-century print. Fires are blazing on the hearths of open ovens, and women are plying long-handled wooden paddles, shifting loaves around, tending the furnaces. Reserves of fuel, fast-burning twigs known as leña, are stashed along the walls. Homely as the occasion may seem, it is one of the most pleasant events of the year, a minor festival of gitanería, solidarity and good humor. To the men, bread-making is a mystery not to be comprehended, but they attend, nonetheless, clustered around the doorway, playing ritual visits. I noticed two or three there who must have walked a long way just to watch the turning of the year in a place sweet with the smell of new-made bread and the fragrance of the leña. Christmas morning. Antonio and I are up and about early, pockets stuffed with half bottles of aguardiente. We are about to set out on a tour which will take us all over the mountain and beyond. Our plan is simple. We intend to visit as many families as possible and offer our good wishes. El Maricón, close to our starting point, has set out biscuits, cakes and glasses of wine on a small table in front of his cave for the entertainment of passing guests. His neighbors have done the same. One or two families have put on attractive displays, but for the most part the items offered, arranged on improvised rickety tables, are not much different from those children use when playing house. Makes no difference. What matters is the formality. The children take delight in these ceremonies, jumping up and down to greet us, greet so many visitors, tumbling around the tables. They do not mind not having any toys. Wherever we go, a certain ritual takes place. First, we greet all present and express good wishes. Next, we eat the cake and drink the wine offered us. After that, we pour from our own bottles and drink to the health of our host. As we make the rounds, numerous calé, alone or in groups, trudge about the hill following the same pattern. They too must be greeted. They too are carrying bottles. It is scarcely our fault if after so many visits our speech should become slurred, our Andalou less comprehensible. So many caves, so many little tables. The toasts we offer become increasingly fanciful. To the Triana, to Ronda, this is well received. Que viva Ronda, everyone cries. To Winston Churchill, noisy applause. To Lura, ah. We carry on as best we may, ever upward as far as I can tell, until, Carlos, haven't we been here before? So we have, by God. Never mind, now we've been everywhere. Casemos, let's go home. I am to spend the next day or two with Lola, which means I shall have a bedroom, a high bed, and what luxury, a bathroom. Lola's cave is by far the best in Sacramento, space for a corps de ballet to perform on the patio, two or three large rooms built outside toward the street in the style of Lake Como buildings, and several more tunneled into the rock behind. Most are furnished as though the Moors still held court in Granada. Evening dress would by no means be out of place there. Lola is one of a relatively few people whose career led to fame and fortune. Performers of her generation, Pilar Lopez, Carmen Amaya, Rosario, they are really her contemporaries. The passing years had not changed her greatly. Low voice, cultivated, much travelled, generous. She was always a true sister, and I greatly miss her. The last time I saw her, she gave me a brandy glass engraved with gypsy motifs, castanets, guitars, and so on. I remarked how fine it was. It's special for other reasons, she explained. Only two people beside yourself have ever drunk from it. The Captain General and, take a breath, Federico Garcia Lorca. Spending Christmas with Lola is profoundly restful. Lola understands that I am an unreliable guest. She is aware I can easily get lost on the hill and keeps a kindly eye upon me. Turkey for dinner, she announces, and Christmas pudding to follow. Christmas pudding. Heaven knows where she got that from. Possibly it came from Argentina. It seems we have whiskey but no soda. I offer to slip out and get some. No, you won't, says Lola firmly. I know you too well. Once out there, you won't be able to come back. A good point, and disagreement is out of the question. Sleeping late in Lola's house, deep under the stone hill, I realize how tired I must be. When I begin to break out in spots and rashes, I know it's time for a change of climate, a change of persona. And here is what I believe sets an aficionado apart from the gitan. It has nothing to do with status or money or even race. It is nothing other than the ability of the pajo to shout taxi and take off for another world whenever a situation becomes boring or squalid or dangerous. A case in point. One year, feeling more exhausted and run down than usual, I knew the moment had come to leave Granada immediately. Enough was enough. Time to gather whatever strength remained and head for Gibraltar first. There I knew was a P&O packet bound for London and waiting to sail. In the dining room of the great liner, linen and candlelight, the tinkling of silver, order and luxury, restored at a single step. Was I waking from a dream or into one?